This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor and it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Like Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my blade. I'm gonna dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I am Steve Rosenbloom. This is Saturday Suckage. I'm here. Let's find out who else is. Grobber.
It sucks, and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Manez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the Suck team.
Toby!
Oh, my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
And the further review, we suck!
Terry Bars!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendrick!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wentz.
Well, that's fun, but there you go. I suck.
Sucked, Alex. Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend, Steve Dahl.
Discord sucks! Discord sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have it happen game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
It still stands. Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Keep adding games. Michael Kobach.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
JD Martinez.
And I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are.
Nice.
The host.
They say we suck. Let's suck. Let's go suck together. Let's go have fun sucking.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Alex Kuhn.
Hi, I'm Alex Kuhn, and I also suck.
You do. You suck, so they don't have to.
So you don't. You out there, the listener, don't have to.
Yeah, you're staying on brand today. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
It's early,
Steve.
And it's great to have with me somebody who sucks as though he were a 10-year veteran. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Our phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That number also gets you to our text line, 312-644-6767, which I can't see. Alex? I can't see.
Bueller?
The text line. Yeah.
Bueller?
Uh-huh. All right. We have a guest list today. 11:25, Hub Arkish, senior NFL analyst for The Score. He'll be here. Bears made moves. The NFL is making moves. The Combine is next week. At noon, if all goes well and Jack O'Callaghan doesn't hurt himself on a golf course in Florida, we will talk to a member of the 1980 Olympic team, the Miracle on Ice boys. Today is the 45th anniversary. This is the date, 45 years ago, when the American Davids, Hockey Davids, slayed the Red Goliath. We'll talk to Jack about that. 12:30 or so, Julia Poe of the Tribune. The Bulls play again, despite everyone's request. They will play the Suns. And at 1 o'clock, Ben Verlander of Fox and the Flippin' Bats podcast will be here. We'll be talking all kinds of stuff about robot umps, the Cubs, the Sox, Bregman, Justin Turner. So I guess the question is, more Duck Dynasty or more ZZ Top? What do you think, Alex? Now that you're in here really messing me up and all the screens, what do you think?
I would say Duck Dynasty.
Yeah. Thanks for playing our game and messing up all my papers. But the news coming yesterday and overflowing into today with possibilities. Ben Johnson has Ryan Poles' credit card, it seems, and has a lot more money on it now. The Bears yesterday cut Gerald Everett, tight end, DeMarcus Walker, defensive end. The Bears end up with, give or take, $10.75 million more for retail therapy for the offensive line, the defensive line, for things that are closest to the ball that Ryan Poles forgot to do. Free agency starts on March 12th. 18 days from now, but the tampering period, there's sort of a legal tampering period, begins a couple days before the 12th, but really they're already tampering. The Combine is next week. There'll be tampering there. Those who haven't started tampering now by making these cuts, and they're going around the league. And today, Tom Pelissero reports that the Rams gave Matthew Stafford's agent the opportunity to go work a trade, go find somebody else, see who will take your guy, and we'll see if we can work something out. So there's tampering going on all over the place. The NFL doesn't want to look, but there's tampering going on, and that affects your Bears. They should be tampering. Right? Haven't Bill Belichick and Tom Brady told us with almost every Super Bowl, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying? Really? I mean,
they're the dirtiest of all, and they won Super Bowl. And, like, we're not supposed to acknowledge that? Well, they did. So if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So now, according to SpotTrack, the Bears have the fourth most salary cap space with which to go shopping in free agency. The Patriots are first with over $125 million. I haven't looked at their roster and what they're in for, but like they have just like two players signed. Is that it? $125 million to spend in free agency. Then come the Raiders at $95 million. Tom Brady's Raiders. I cannot wait to see how Tom Brady is going to be able to cheat his way to whatever the Raiders need there. The Commanders are third with $79 million. These are all roughly rough estimates. The Bears at $74 million. Cardinals are fifth at $71 million. So to backtrack, by cutting DeMarcus Walker, he had signed a three-year, $21 million contract in 2023. He was durable, that's for sure. He played every game. He played all 34 games the last two seasons for the Bears. 3.5 sacks in each season. Not enough. The whole defensive line for the Bears, including Montez Sweat, by the way, not enough. The Bears sucked more than every other team except the Patriots and the Panthers in sacks. That's just sad. And they got Montez Sweat. He was supposed to be a multiplier. But now we find ourselves in a situation where somebody's going to have to multiply him. Ryan Poles spent a lot of money on a guy who isn't, well, certainly isn't Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett's out there. Myles Garrett would be okay. He would be an upgrade over DeMarcus Walker, right? Fair to say that?
I can confirm that is likely, yes.
Sources is working to confirm. Walker could be back. I mean, as a rotational piece, as a third guy, he wasn't brought in to be that guy. He was brought in to, let's see how many guys we can contribute and get sacks. And like, can we all become the Eagles? Look at that Eagles defensive line. They have every top free agent and a defensive line or linebacker, it's an Eagle. Whatever it is, it's an Eagle. I assume Walker could be brought back as a rotational player for less money. And I have to think he wouldn't have been cut if Dennis Allen really liked him or thought he could double the sack totals or something like that. I mean, the money is an issue, but the Bears were flush enough that if Dennis Allen comes in and says, I like this guy, I want this guy, I don't want him going out to the market, I could make something of this. I don't think, it doesn't appear that he said that. This is not somebody the Bears or any of the coaches held dear. So, now what? Big move? You know, a big move like when they got Khalil Mack several years ago? Oh, and maybe the big move this year is Khalil Mack again. He's out there. Ditto Josh Sweat. Maybe the Bears could get all the sweats, right? Isn't that where it works? Pro Football Focus ran down Khalil Mack and Josh Sweat for everybody. They did all the heavy lifting, so we don't have to. Here's the PFF report. Going into the offseason, Mack boasts the honor of being one of just five defensive players to attain a 90.0-plus overall PFF grade in both 2023 and 2024 with a minimum of 500 snaps. His production hasn't waned whatsoever despite his age. Okay, I got a problem with PFF. I always have a problem with PFF grading offensive line, especially. But you can grade defensive line, and you can grade win rate. You can look at every player and every snap. And okay, Khalil Mack had 6 sacks in 16 games last year. And he's listed as your number one free agent. Six sacks. That's only a half a sack more than Montez Sweat. And Montez Sweat had a sucky year. And they're telling you this about Khalil Mack. Maybe there's zero credibility in what PFF says, but that's what we're working with now. They focus on other stuff. PFF does. It continues, even though Mack's PFF pass rush grade dropped from 86.3 to 78.9, his pass rush win rate was still 14.5% this past year. Okay, one of those numbers is not good. If you include the word dropped, you're probably not good enough. You're not good like you were before, which means something waned. This doesn't make sense. I'm just telling you what PFF says. Some people hold this up as the Bible. More about Khalil Mack. He's also been elite as a run defender, as his 91.5 PFF run defense grade is the second best in the league since 2023. Age is a concern for Mack. Well, now we're getting into what the Bears like. They like their guys pre-injured. They like their guys about to be injured. The three-time All-Pro mulled retirement this past season. Alex, do you know what the rule is on retirement?
If you mull retirement, you're
retired.
You should probably retire.
Yeah.
Or you're retired already.
Yeah.
The Aaron Rodgers rule, should we call it that?
Well, he doesn't know better. And he doesn't have any mirrors in his house, and nobody's going to tell him anything. But that's not why he called. Still, as PFF continues, Mack fits the criteria of a player worthy of a massive deal. Giving Mack $20 million or more annually over 2 years could be logical. I'm sorry. $20 million for a 33-year-old guy who mulled retirement and had six sacks in 16 games for Jim Harbaugh's Chargers, ranking in the 50s among all NFL players? I don't know. That sounds like something Ryan Poles might do. It's something I would hope Ben Johnson wouldn't, or Dennis Allen wouldn't. But moving right along, they might see something we don't see. The other glitzy name, well, actually, Zach Bond is maybe the glitziest name there, because he showed up in the Super Bowl and like, oh, look at that guy. Can we have one of those? Can we go to the linebacker store and get one of those guys? Well, you can. Zach Bond, you know, there may have been no greater one-year contract signed in terms of what the payoff might be. He'll certainly be in the team picture. But then there's Josh Sweat. Also, everybody's from Philadelphia except Khalil Mack. Everyone's from Philadelphia. So Sweat has been, I don't know if you'd say underrated. PFF says Sweat has become an underrated standout over the past few years. Since 2022, Sweat ranks 15th in total pressures generated and 27th in pass rush win rate among all qualified defenders. His run defense marks haven't been as strong since his great 2022 campaign, but Sweat still missed only 5% tackles this year. Still only 27. See, that there is the start of a sentence that you need to, especially when comparing Khalil Mack and Josh Sweat. Still only 27. Sweat matches the description of a player whom teams will covet this offseason. Lavishing him with an offer of $22 million or more per year is in play. Sweat had 8 sacks for Vic Fangio's Super Bowl winning defense. That there would be a significant difference from Montez Sweat, 5.5 again. Bears are pretty sad on the defensive line. Montez Sweat was supposed to be a multiplier. He didn't show it last year. So those are the two pretty shiny things out there. And I read you what PFF thought of them. 8 sacks is, you're going to bring in 8 sacks, and you would expect more than that. And then you look at Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson and go, wait, where do we get those? Well, you can get Myles Garrett. So two questions for you if you're thinking about it. And I'll ask Cub this. If you're if you look at Myles Garrett, you say, well, would he be worth your top three draft picks this year? And the Browns might say that's not enough. But what if they say it's enough? Would you do that for the Bears? Or, and we're going to spend, now they have, we said, according to SpotTrack, about $75 million to spend. So you could get the top offensive lineman out there and the top defensive lineman out there. And let's say it cost you $45 to $48 million. You'd still have a good almost $30 million to spend elsewhere. But you need at least one on each. And you certainly need a center. And Dahlman in Atlanta is coming off an injury, but Matt Bowen, a regular guest on this radio station, says that's the best fit for the Bears at center. They desperately need a center. So what if it comes down to, well, you need the center, we're going to buy the center. What if it comes down to spending that kind of money, $22 million, on Trey Smith, presuming he gets out of Kansas City, or one of the defensive ends? Khalil Mack or Josh Sweat? What do you think, Alex?
Trey Smith every time.
Like, exactly
Khalil
right.
Mack, $20 million per year?
Well, that's PFF for whatever they're worth. They're
no, thank you,
you
PFF. No, thank you.
You know what? We'll ask Hub Arkish what he thinks. Senior NFL analyst for The Score, a man who has seen this dance before, seen this come, seen this go. The tampering season is on. The combine is next week. Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles will speak. We've got some idea of what the Bears can spend. We'll see if they'll tip us off to which way they want to go, and maybe Hub knows something. This is Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome and welcome back. Saturday Suckage, I'm Steve Rosenblum. Now joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Hub Arkish, Senior NFL Analyst for The Score. Download the Circa app today. Hub, welcome. As we walk you in with the who.
Yes, great place to start. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So the who is like, who are the Bears, who are they going after? Now that they've cut DeMarcus Walker and Gerald Everett, which seemed to be rumored for a while and now it's true, and they have about $75 million in cap space, so they've jumped to number four on the list as best as we can tell. So who do the Bears go after? Who would you go after?
Well, I think the key, Steve, is to take the next step from last year, from where they finished last year, is they obviously have to improve the pass rush. They have to improve the offensive line play. I think they might want to get a little deeper at safety. I think they are going to want to get deeper at tight end now that they have released Everett. So those are the positions I would focus on as far as the players. We're just going to the combine next week. You know, we don't know where these free agents are with their agents as far as how likely they are to switch teams or to make a deal with the guys they're at. So we still need to learn a lot more in the next, two, 3 weeks about where to rank these players. But we know what positions the Bears should be focused on, and I think that's what they'll be focused on at the combine next week.
I ran down a list of PFF's summations of Khalil Mack and Josh Sweat. And Khalil Mack at 33 and mulling retirement. And I don't want to pay that kind of money for that guy. 6 sacks in 16 games last year. I know what kind of career he's had. We saw what kind of havoc he could wreak, what kind of damage he could do here, how great he could be when he was here. That was enough years ago. And if you're contemplating retirement, you're retired. I don't want to spend that kind of money on him. I don't know what you think about Khalil Mack or Josh Sweat as the two, I guess, glitziest names Bears fans have heard that we've seen. How would you evaluate those two if the Bears go defensive line with $25 million, $22 million?
Well, two different stories, really. I think, with Mack, if you can get him on a 1 or 2 year deal, then I would seriously take a look at it, because I do believe Montez Sweat is going to be a Pro Bowl edge rusher, and I think he needs a little help. There are other people that the other teams have to worry about for him to really turn loose. And I think Khalil Mack, you know, playing just in obvious pass rush situations is the guy who can do that. We know what a great pass rusher he can be. So I wouldn't overpay. I wouldn't go nuts. I certainly wouldn't sign him for more than a year or two. But if I could make that deal, even if it was a fairly, you know, big number for a year, I think it might be worth taking a chance. You turn it around and you look at the other guy. And I just wasn't in love with him. Well, I'm not in love with him, but I wasn't really focused on him until about halfway through this season. And while he is going to be a big money free agent and he is going to get paid, and I suspect he will move because the Eagles have enough guys that they're going to have a hard time hanging on to. But as I focus on this, I start to focus on this, he's not one of the guys who really jumps out at me based on what he's produced so far in his career.
Well, he produced more sacks than both Montez Sweat and Khalil Mack last year. Josh Sweat did.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that he would be an upgrade. I'm not saying, you know, he's a bad suggestion. He's just not the first guy I would focus on. I'm a little more interested in some of these guys who've been a little more productive over the last 2, 3, 4 years and are still 26 or younger. And, you know, like I say, he's not a bad move. I wouldn't be disappointed if they signed him. But I hear his name a lot more than I expected to, because I think there are other free agent and veteran edge rushers out there who are more interesting.
My guest is Hub Arcus, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We're talking Bears and free agency. They cut DeMarcus Walker and Gerald Everett, which, you know, I guess we should celebrate the one first down Gerald Everett got as a tight end. I think his greatest impact, unfortunately, was stunting the growth, the progress of Cole Kmet. I would assume we're done with that. And having seen the way, you know, having seen Sam Laporta become much more prominent and dangerous and become that guy in Detroit, I would hope that Cole Kmet could achieve that and live up to that contract through no fault of his own at this point because of what Shane Waldron and Gerald Everett meant to that. But I have high hopes for Cole Kmet. I think he's one of the top 10 in the league if they let him be that. Do you share that view?
Yeah, I do agree with you, Steve. And I think that, you know, when I look at, you know, what they did in Detroit with Laporta, you know, I think Kmet's every bit as good a player. I think it's just a question of using him right and getting the scheme set up for him and who your number two option is going to be. And it doesn't have to be another tight end. It could be your second or third wide receiver. But this is more about Ben Johnson, you know, putting together a system like what he put together, you know, where he was. And you know, I think he will. I think that's why he was hired. So I'm excited about that. But I'm with you on Cole Kmet. I think he is an underrated Bear right now. I think he has to be used better. I think can do more if they make him more of a focus. But this is where they put themselves in a bind last year because, you know, you go and you draft the kid, you know, with the ninth pick in the first round, and you've already got, you know, your big money number one wide receiver. And then you bring in, you know, Keenan Allen. They were just, and then you bring in, you know, the running back. They brought in so much talent last year that they had too much to work with, and they didn't figure out the best way to use them all. You know, and that's why the coaching staff got replaced. And that's what's exciting about this coaching staff is that you've got the best offensive coordinator in the league last year coming in to take over your team now. And he's hired some interesting people already. So I think that's why people should be at least positive about this, if not excited.
One of the things about free agency is one of the rules is you're going to, or one of the known facts is you're going to overpay. That's the tax you pay for not drafting well. You're going to overpay in free agency, especially early on. Some teams just prefer to wait. We may not get the best player, the perceived best player, but other teams that sit and wait tend to get the best bargains. And if they see that player, then they're willing to overpay. Is Trey Smith, if he comes to market, is he the guy the Bears have to focus on first with all that money? They have to spend all whatever money it takes. He needs to be the first expenditure for before they look at the defensive line. What do you think?
Well, I think he should be their first focus on what it's going to take and figuring it out. You know, again, the cap just went up. Was it 2 days ago? $50 million a year. So this is going to be the highest paid free agent class in history, you know, with all that extra money suddenly, you know, hitting availability. And so I think that at the end of the day, we start on the defensive and offensive front, you know, those offensive and defensive linemen. And if you have to overpay for one of them, you're going to have to overpay for one of them. And I think you need to go for them in free agency and the draft. Look, both places, you know, mm-hmm. because you've still got a fair amount of work to do on this roster. But this is not a free agent class to match last year's or last couple of years. This is not one of the better free agent, you know, prospect groups I've seen in the last few years. So there are some guys that I'd like to see the Bears go get, or at least try and go get. But I think that it's possible with those, you know, with three picks in the first 41, that their best improvement this year could be in the draft if they get the right guys as opposed to free agency.
A not great class in free agency means there's going to be a rush to overpay the names at the top. That tends to be expensive.
Yeah, no, I mean, Trey Smith is going to become the highest paid guard in football. Now, there are people who believe that he can play anywhere on the line. We know he can play guard and center. He probably can play tackle. And so that'll be the justification if he gets what people consider to be overpaid. But, you know, the Chiefs know that too. And I have to ask the question, why would you want to leave the Chiefs right now if you could get the same deal with them that you could get with somebody else? You know, so I'm not at all convinced that the Chiefs are going to let him get away with it. Everybody keeps talking about him as the first guy to be signed. It may be, but I think it may be by the Chiefs. You know, no, I hope that the Bears, I hope the Bears are serious about him, and I hope they will consider making him the highest paid player in this free agent group, as long as the number doesn't get stupid. And again, you got to remember also about him. He's 25 years old, you know, and that's, to me, is the most important part. We look at these free agents. If they're more than 25 or 26, I want to be very careful with them. And, you know, we saw what happened with the last offensive guard, you know, that they gave big, well, it was big money, free agent money to at the time. And you just have to be so careful with that. So these long-term free agent deals really trouble me a lot more than the expensive free agent deals.
Well, you look at Ryan Bates and you look at Coleman Shelton and you look at Nate Davis, that's who you were referencing before, and you ask yourself, can you trust Ryan Poles? I'm asking you, can you trust Ryan Poles to evaluate offensive linemen when he played the damn position? Can you? Do you?
I think so far we still can, yes. And people keep talking about those three guys, but people keep forgetting they were all brought in to maybe hope that one of them contended for the starting lineup. They were brought in to be depth. They were brought in to be improvements over what you had. But at no point did Poles or the Bears, or look at the money or the contracts they gave them, say that these guys were the answer to fixing the offensive line. So I think, you know, over criticizing Ryan Poles for that is a little unfair. Now, this year, it has to be his priority. This year, he's got to get top prospects. So this year, it is fair to weigh him on the lineman that he signed.
I don't know that you can absolve him of blame with Nate Davis, because you had a guy there whose reputation should have preceded him, not big on practice. And however a guy, you know, when a guy gets hurt, I just never know where it's going to go. I'm hard-pressed to come down on somebody who gets hurt. It's a damn shame is what it is. And you're right, the depth becomes very important. But if you're dealing with somebody who doesn't love the game for the game and has issues like that, I do think Ryan Poles should get some blame. It doesn't look like he did his due diligence when you're bringing in somebody who of whom there were whispers, like there were about Nate Davis. And so I still come back to the question, do we trust him is to make that decision? Let's say he goes Trey Smith or, you know, Drew Dahlman. Maybe decide center is more important than Trey Smith, as good as Trey Smith would be. What did you think? Because Matt Bowen, a regular on this station, says Dahlman's a good fit for the Bears. He's coming off an ankle injury, however, and another pre-injured guy. I don't know where you have Dahlman ranked or the position of center ranked and how they fit into your calculus for what the Bears should do, but share that with me.
Well, first of all, Steve, let me be clear. he has to get blamed for Nate Davis. There's no excuse for that.
Okay.
You know, that was a mistake. You know, there's no question about that. But please tell me the general manager you know who's never made a mistake. You know, they don't get them all right. And so the only point I was making about that is looking at the offensive linemen last year, those three guys, those were all just a hope that one or two turns out to be better than what you had and maybe even real good. But, mm-hmm. you know, nobody pretended that that was what they were calling the answer. So to say that we have to question polls for that, I just don't think that's realistic. I look at all the other things that he did last year that he's done in the last couple of years. He's done a lot more good than bad, Steve. You know, and it's how you want to rank these guys. Now, this year is the huge year then, because it looks like things are settling in well between Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. We don't know how that worked out the way it did, but Johnson was pretty clear. This was the job he wanted. He wanted to work, you know, with Ryan Poles. That's all over now. We know that's been taken care of. But now, you know, the GM is going to be ranked on how many more games they win this year than last year. The first 3 years for him, it was rebuild time. That could all be explained, if not excused. But this year, they have to go from 5 wins to at least, I would think, 8 or 9 for me to call this successful. And I'm thinking 10 is maybe more necessary for people to get back to where they were on bowls, you know, a couple months ago.
Do you expect a playoff team this year?
I think it's a possibility. I think the division is so tough is what's going to make it hard. But I think it's a possibility because I'm not in any way concerned about what I saw from Caleb Williams last year. It wasn't, you know, a great rookie year. It wasn't as good as Jaden Daniels' rookie year. But I saw a lot more of why they made him the number one pick in the draft than I saw maybe why they shouldn't have. And so that's what everybody is still spending this on. I think most people still think he should be the guy. And this is the year now with Ben Johnson that he evolves. And I think that's the key to the whole thing. Whoever they add this year are going to be upgrades over who they replace. They know how to do that. Now, whether they're the guys that you want to build your franchise around, that's why multiple GMs get fired every year. You mm-hmm. know, they don't get it all right.
So looking at the division, because it was tough last year, but there's a lot of institutional knowledge that left Detroit, and we're witness to it in Chicago. And the question of who's going to quarterback the Vikings, unfortunately, there's still Kevin O'Connell there to make sure that it all goes right. And yet, that's still a question. And we assume Green Bay is going to be good because they're always vexing for the Bears. But I don't know that it will be as daunting, and I'm banking on a Detroit regression at that point because that's what seems to happen. So I think they should be expected to make the playoffs. I haven't seen their additions and their draft, but I'm guessing they're headed in the right direction. I expect the playoffs because we kind of talked about it last year. Maybe we were wrong. Mm-hmm. You think?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, over our head, over our skis. We got a little too giddy.
Yeah, there were some people who were saying playoffs last year. I was not one of them. I think I made it pretty clear. I thought they could get to 500, but they weren't ready last year. That was just too much early excitement about all the changes going on. But where they're at this year, I think expecting the playoffs is realistic or reasonable. I don't know if it's realistic, but it's reasonable this year. You know, it is time in his fourth year for this team to be ready to be a playoff contender. It's just that simple. You don't have to figure out a lot of details to explain it. That's the way the business works. So, yeah, I think he's got to make a real run at the playoffs, and I think they have a real shot at doing that, assuming that Caleb Williams is who I think he is, who we think he is. And with what I saw last year, I think there's a good chance that he is.
Okay, well, they're better, or we're going to hold you to it. It's all going to be your fault, Hub. But you're used to that. Thanks for your time, Hub. Stay well.
All right. Take care. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hub Arkish, senior NFL analyst for The Score. Hey, did you make your text? Hey, Alex, did you hear from Jack? Jack, did you hear from Jack?
I did hear from Jack. He is off the golf course, and he is going to call us at noon sharp. He's going to be joining us.
The Jack in question is Jack O'Callaghan. You saw him a lot in the movie Miracle. You saw him on the ice for the Miracle on Ice team, 1980. Today, 45 years ago, on this date, greatest game in American sports history was on tape delay. We'll talk to somebody who played in that game at the top of the hour whenever he calls us between the 18th and 19th holes. Or maybe he'll call us from the 19th hole. Boy, life's good when you're a miracle, man. You just get off the golf course. Yeah, I'm going to call and talk about the greatest event in American sports history. In the meantime, we'll take a break. We come back. White Sox news. Got some stuff for you. Some of it you need to take a shower for, or maybe wear a body condom. The other stuff is kind of interesting. Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Hey, I know that guy. Welcome in, welcome back. Thank you for listening. Saturday Suckage. Top of the hour, we expect a phone call from Jack O'Callaghan, member of the 1980 Olympic team on this date 45 years ago. Hockey David defeated the Red Goliath. Talk to him about that. Movie Miracle. He's a technical consultant on it. Some stories coming out of that. We'll relive that moment, the greatest moment in American sports history. But this first, tune in tomorrow for Cubs versus Rangers in spring training action from Arizona. Coverage on The Score begins at 1:55, first pitch at 2:05. Cubs spring training games on The Score are sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions. White Sox were in the news. John Greenberg, with help from Dan Hayes, John Greenberg of The Athletic, had written this. Dateline Chicago, Chicago area billionaire Justin Ishbia has dropped his pursuit of the Minnesota Twins. The Athletic has learned and will instead buy more shares from other limited partners to increase his existing minority stake in the Chicago White Sox. There's your nut graph. Sentence is, he's buying up minority shares. The other part of the story is Jerry Reinsdorf is still in charge and will remain in charge. No matter who owns what, he is the managing partner. It's his decision. So those are the facts of the case. Those are the interesting parts. There's a lot of dry stuff as far as who gets what, who says what, but that's what you need to know. Now, here's what I find interesting. He gave up his pursuit of the Twins. The Twins thought it was a done deal. Everybody in Minnesota thought, this is it. This billionaire, who along with his brother, they own the Suns and the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury. And by the way, the Bulls play the Suns this afternoon, 4 o'clock, tip-off, 3:45, pregame show with Chuck right here on the Scores airwaves. So here comes this guy with billions and billions of dollars, and his brother's running the Suns, but they're both there. And here's Justin Ishbia, who's like trying to buy all of Winnetka or whatever it is and make it Ishbiaville, building this massive estate there, billions and billions, billions and of dollars. So why did this happen? Use the concept of the five whys. Use this in life. Apply it as you. What? Ask why. What happened and why? Then when you get that answer, ask why again. When you get that answer, ask why again. Usually by the fifth why, you get what really happened. In this case, it seems you only need to go two whys deep and you get to Occam's razor. Why? Why would he give up pursuit of owning the Twins? The obvious answer for a master of leverage and negotiation, Jerry Reinsdorf, the chairman, lured him in. Hey, buy these shares. Why? Why would Jerry do that? Why would he want to do that? He could own a baseball team. He could own the Twins. Jerry would want to do that for this reason. Jerry Reinsdorf would want Justin Ishbia on his team. He does not want another version of Steve Cohen in baseball and certainly doesn't want him in the AL Central. First and foremost, Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't want people spending money in his division. Cleveland Indians are just fine with him. Minnesota Twins, just fine with him. Nobody spend any money. That's the way Jerry wants it because Jerry, the chairman, doesn't want to spend any money himself and certainly hasn't. Although he has spent money on a minor league contract on Mike Clevenger because apparently the White Sox have discovered a market inequity in the depraved and despicable pitcher. So there's the depraved and despicable part of baseball. Apparently the White Sox are seizing the market on that. But in the meantime, why would Justin Ishbia give up pursuit of owning the Twins? Jerry Reinsdorf made it worth his while. How does Jerry Reinsdorf make it worth his while? This is me just speculating. These aren't facts. But it's pretty easy to say, because number one rule in life is follow the money. Jerry Reinsdorf can say, tell his kids, I die, sell the team, get rid of it immediately. Well, who's going to buy it? Ah. So what you do by bringing in Justin Ishbia, as you say, your trade-off is you come here and buy the minority shares, because I don't want you in Minnesota being Steve Cohen the way he is with the Mets. And your opportunity to buy the White Sox comes first. You buy all the minority shares now. I'm in charge. When I die, you get to buy this thing and you own it. Whatever you do with the 78, whatever you do, it has to be. I would guarantee that's the way it is. There's no reason for Justin Ishbia not to continue to pursue buying the Twins. He would own that baseball team if that's what he wants to do. He could own a team, but yet he isn't. He backed off. Happily for Jerry Reinsdorf, because Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't want somebody spending money. Again, number one rule in life, follow the money. So that's what I think is happening. Justin Ishbia gets to buy up all the minority shares when Jerry Reinsdorf dies. Whenever the team passes, when it passes hands, it'll be into Justin Ishbia's hands. And the Sox will have, maybe, their Steve Cohen. Yeah. That's what I think. Just keep asking why and follow the money. I think it's Occam's razor here is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, if you keep asking why, what percentage of the time does it come down to money?
Well, I'd start there early, Alex, and that's why I said this kind of Occam's razor, because that's what we're dealing with franchises at this valuation. Why would a guy who's a billionaire not pursue the Minnesota Twins when he could own it? Why would he not? Why would he want to be a part of a Reinsdorf organization that he's not in charge of? Billionaires are used to being in charge of things, aren't they? Don't they? Money, power, say so, all that? And he's not. So what's the reason? On the if come. That's it. Later on, you get your payoff. That's what I think. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we hope to be speaking with a member of the 1980 U.S. Olympic team on this date, 45 years ago. Herb Brooks gave this speech. Mike Ruzzinone scored that goal. And Al Michaels offered up one of the great lines in sports broadcasting history. All that, top of the hour, Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.